If you've ever wanted to interact with us, you can join us live Fridays at 7 p.m. Eastern. We start off segment one with an interview, and segment two is always the news segment. You can follow all of our sponsors at Zatuna Liquor in Rochester Hills, just south of M59 on Rochester Road, North Center Brewing over at Northville, Michigan, just south of Baseline Road on North Center Street, or also downtown Northville in their drinking district. You can also find PCI Brandcraft, that's at PCI Brandcraft on Facebook and Instagram. Go check them out. Everything that you need to throw your logo on, whether it's a mouse pad, a hat, a shirt, a glass, that's what they cater to. You can find out everything that we drank during the show by friending us on Untappd. That's BOD Podcast, BODPODCAST. And of course, you can listen to us live, betterondraft.tv or facebook.com/betterondraft, 7 p.m. Easterns on Friday. Don't forget to follow us on all of our socials. That's Better on Draft on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. We will see you soon. We are live! The new segment, Better on Draft Podcast, July 30th, 2021. I am drinking a Wild Little Thing Slightly Sour Ale from Sierra Nevada, who was our guest last week. And I also cracked open a Magic Hat number 9, as I drank 5 out of the 6 last week. The rest after the show, obviously.
One left over.
I had one left over, so yeah, definitely cleaning out the fridge of the beer that I have up here, and I didn't want to crack open a Mean Old Tom or the high octane beers I got from Eastern Market Brewing, so I grabbed everything that wasn't, which means all I have left is high ABV beers. Nice. But Nick, what are you drinking over there?
I am drinking the Passion Fruit Brains from Drekker
Brewing. Good stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And they weren't kidding about the, when I was looking at the ingredients, passion fruit, more passion fruit, even more passion fruit. And when I first took a sip, they weren't fucking kidding.
Does it screw it up for you at all when you realize passion fruit looks like bird shit? I mean.
No, it doesn't.
Nah, never occurred to me.
Well, now you know.
Well, speaking of bird
shit. And knowing
shit,
is half the battle.
Dan, what are you drinking?
Speaking of bird shit, I have no idea. I've got me a Mick Ultra Seltzer.
Well, listen, I love the Mick Ultra Organics, 80 calories, 0 or 1 gram of carbs. I'm all for it.
Yeah.
Wendy?
Well, in honor of the fact that we are terrible at international beer trivia, I decided I was going to start picking up some international beers. And ladies, I haven't forgotten that I'm trying to promote your beers. So call me out on it. Send me some stuff. I want to talk about your beers. But today I am drinking a Maharaja, which is a premium Indian Pilsner. So I'll let you know how that goes.
All right. And Rob?
Right now, I'm just kind of waiting for the music to start as there is this in the glass. But after this is going to be a Listerman lemon pound cake. Of course, they're blonde ale with lemon and vanilla. So I will have that after I reveal this.
I was going to say, didn't
you reveal
chug
it after you chug?
Didn't you chug the pound cake last week?
No,
that was a bottle logic.
Yes, it was a bottle logic last week. Yeah, which I'm savoring those last two cans I have. So.
All right. Well, as always, this segment.
Here is Robert with the beer news.
That was pretty good timing. You need to do a collection of all of these and set it to like the same thing, but just have like 8 different versions of him chugging beers.
That'd be amazing.
Because
it's a new TikTok video.
It's a new TikTok. There, you know what? That's what we should do. We have a Better on Draft TikTok. We haven't done anything with it yet.
There you go.
I am learning how to do that.
Wendy is learning TikTok.
All right. So the chug of the day is from El Segundo Brewing Company. Some Steve Austin's Broken Skull IPA.
He'd be proud of you for that right now.
Right. I just didn't. So I need to put those down like that. Just let that run. No spillage. It's a brand new laptop. That shit ain't happening. I'm sorry.
I was going to say, it's a shame we didn't pre-plan this. We could have got the glass shatter in for you.
Yeah.
So, Rob, I hate to cut you off.
I was going to let you go first.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
You were going to let me go first. I'm looking for what I typed in here, but it's, oh, geez. So, there we go. Found what I was. I knew what I was talking about, but apparently I needed a document to tell me what I was talking about. On a local craft beer Facebook group, a question was pondered, tasked to everyone. And it's a very fair question. But I want to ask your guys' opinion. I need it right off the cuff, so be prepared. I'm going to go around. I'm going to say what it is and then ask all four of your answers. Starting with Wendy. What is a crowler?
A crowler is a can. It's a canned growler.
Okay.
It's a larger growler.
Dan.
Larger can.
32 ounce can.
Right there in front of you.
Dan. Yeah, 32 ounce can.
It could be a different size can, though.
Yeah, I guess that's
quick.
True.
This is quick. You're ruining everything, Wendy.
I'm sorry.
I wish I could mute you. I said quick. Nick, what is a crowler?
He's got to get off mute
Nick,
first.
Crowler, come on. 1, 2, 3, eyes on me.
A can that you put beer into.
Okay,
and
Rob.
Give it away for packaging.
Stop.
Or to go.
Rob.
32-ounce can of beer.
32-ounce can of beer. Okay. So, the discussion is, one, is a crowler 32 ounces? And two, does a crowler imply a can? And if not, what do you call it? Wendy, I was so rude when I kept trying to get you to be quiet, and I apologize.
No, it doesn't have to be 32 ounces.
Okay.
It could be, I've seen them in different sizes. And in order to be a crowler, yes, I believe it has to be a can.
Okay. What do you call a glass bottle 32 ounce fill?
Is that a thing?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
I call it a meowler.
A meowler.
A meowler. Okay.
Dan, you said a can. You said a 32-ounce can. You were very specific.
You know, I've heard it the same for the 32-ounce bottle as well.
For a 32-ounce
bottle?
Yeah. The glass bottle. Okay. Nick, you said a can of any size?
Yes.
Rob?
I mean, for a 32 ounce in glass, I've always known that as a howler.
I've always known it as a prowler, which is a 16 ounce glass, a howler 32 ounce, a growler 64 ounce, and then a crowler is just a can filled with craft beer, typically 32 ounces. But if it's a 16 ounce can filled with draft beer, because we all know beer is better on draft. But I was just curious. That's why I wanted, you're all like, you're quick. Like, somebody says crowler, what comes to your mind? And I think Dan is correct. A lot of people think 32 ounce can when someone says crowler. That's the first thing they think of, is a 32 ounce little big boy. But it was just a curious opinion. Does anybody have anything they want to expound on that? That was all I had for that.
Go
ahead.
I do want to clarify, you're right, howler would be the 16-ounce, and meowler would be the smaller one, or 32-ounce for the howler, and then the 16-ounce is what I would call a meowler.
Okay. We learned prowler when we had drafting table on for the second time, because when they realized that their staff did not want to drink their shift beer at the brewery, they wanted to leave, they could take it home.
Mm-hmm.
So that was where I learned of the phrase prowler. Meowler works, but yeah, for me, I always thought a crowler was canned draft beer.
Yes,
and that was pretty much the way that I've always seen it in some of the groups that I forgot what term are we using right now, shipping laundry, that or shipping candles rather. When they're shipping candles and someone is saying, hey, going to such and such to get some crowlers, anybody want any? And, you know, that's pretty much what would show up from, you know, breweries like The Answer out on the East Coast, that they do crowlers, and those things are big boy 32-ounce cans that, you know, tough to get your hand around.
Well, that's why you want 40-ounce bottles, right, Dan?
Yeah, always. I mean, it makes it easy.
Easier to play the game.
Yeah, easier to just hold on to.
I was going to say during that it would definitely, the hardware store would wonder why there's so much duct tape is being bought that day.
That's definitely for sure.
Dan's getting put on a list if he hasn't already been put on that list.
Yep.
But just out of curiosity, what did they think a crowler was?
It's the exact same discussion that we had here. 32-ounce, there was a fine line between 32-ounce can and all canned. But everybody said it was a can. Like, draft beer in a can, that was like the definitive. And then the split was, is it all sizes or 32-ounce only? The reason for it is somebody mentioned it in a post, and it was a 16-ounce can, and they called it a crowler. And that's what sparked the discussion of what is a crowler.
Good Lord. All right. Well, we are obviously coming into August. So I guess from this episode, you can now say goodbye to Craft Beer Month as designated by the Michigan Brewers Guild. But as August comes in, the beginning of preseason football, and of course the Hall of Fame game that will be, I guess, hopefully happening in Canton, Ohio next month. But there was a survey that was done on a website, sportshandle.com. It's a legal sports betting site. They recently surveyed more than 2,000 fans over the age of 21 of all of the NFL teams to determine which fan base on average consumes the most alcoholic beverages during the game and at the tailgate. So they basically produced this list down at the bottom, which some of those that are down at the bottom, I was a little surprised with, but the bottom five going from 28 to 32 are the Seattle Seahawks, Minnesota Vikings, New England Patriots, Tennessee Titans, and dead last, the San Francisco 49ers. That was, I guess I was a little surprised, but having been in San Francisco and the cost of living and how much it costs out there just to even get a fucking cheese square, that I'm not surprised.
It doesn't surprise me.
I'm not gonna drink that much out there anyway, but with how much everything costs. But with the top 10, the top 10 goes as follows from 10 to 1. 10, our beloved Detroit Lions, which I guess I feel that's lower than they should be. I don't know how I feel about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. But from 10 up, so the Lions, L.A. Rams, Cleveland Browns, L.A. Chargers, Denver Broncos, top five, Carolina Panthers, fourth are the Chicago Bears, three the Buffalo Bills, two the Baltimore Ravens, and number one, the Cincinnati Bengals, which they say that each person surveyed was on average having 5.2 beers per game and spending an average of about $43 for said beers, which I guess beer per, if that's coming from the stadium, that's actually not too terrible. That's not bad. But just curious about, you know, just with this list, and I kind of wish that they had interviewed more people, because I feel like 2,000 per fan base, I don't know if that's enough to really make this a definitive list or make this a more definitive list, rather. Though Buffalo Bills being in the top three, with the amount of Twitter videos I've seen of them slamming each other through, slamming themselves through tables at pregame, I guess I expect to see them there. But I do kind of feel like with the fan base of what we have here and the amount of craft beer that we have and the amount of beer overall that we as Michiganders drink, I kind of feel like we should be higher than 10th. I'm a little disappointed.
Those first two, I am not surprised at all. And, you know, you think about the Chad Ocho Cinco days and the level of fans that watch the Bengals. I mean, it's not at all surprising. Same with the Ravens. And you think about the kind of fans that they have.
I would add the Browns on that too.
I'm surprised.
I'm actually surprised Cleveland's not in the top three.
I'm surprised Philadelphia is not number one.
That was a shocker to see Philly so low, because Philly's 26th.
That's
on this list.
I mean, it's so. I mean, if you think about it, Philly, for example, they beat the shit out of each other over there. They booed Santa Claus. They beat the shit out of their own fans. What stadium in the NFL has a judge on standby in the basement?
I assume the old Raiders stadium did. You know, that's the team I thought would be up there, but there were two things. But hold on, there were two things. You know, I don't know if they talked to people in Vegas or they talked to people in Oakland. And the people in Oakland are probably doing like coke and meth before they go to a game instead of drinking
beer. Actually, I can actually look. The one game that my wife and I went to at Oakland Coliseum, it was the last home game before they said goodbye to Oakland. So it was like the best time to go. It was like a fucking party. It was legit a party. It was old school parking in the Coliseum parking lot. Cars backing into spots where there's a gap in between the rows of cars, and there's DJs and wet bars every other 15 cars. People barbecuing.
I'm still convinced they let out the local jails to go to those games, the old Raiders games.
Oh man, when we went there, my wife and I, Tara and I, we were like, wow, this is like tailgating in Oakland. Was at a whole different level than it is here in Detroit, and it doesn't even compare. And I felt very, very bad for the people of Oakland, like the Oakland Bay area, that they lost their team, and now it goes to Vegas.
About to lose their baseball team to Vegas too.
Pretty soon Oakland Coliseum is going to be abandoned. There's going to be no one there, and they're going to lose out on all that income.
It's going to be abandoned, and all of a sudden they're going to apply for the Olympics and you know,
and then they're going to get it.
But you know, like I said, I guess I'm a little biased that, you know, with being here in Detroit, despite the fact that, you know, I have pretty much made it known that the Lions are not my team. I am a Pittsburgh Steeler for life. I'm kind of happy that we're 23rd. I like our fan base to be kind of clear-headed, despite the fact that every time they lose one game, they want Tomlin fired. But, you know, I guess with the tailgates that I've been to here, especially at Eastern Market, that I just didn't feel like 10th was – I feel like 10th is too low. I feel like we with the teams that are up there, I could definitely see Cleveland should be higher. I would think really any team that has gone 0-16 should be higher.
I can tell you the entire city of Buffalo showed up that day they played Buffalo and the Jets here. So I really don't know. I mean, when you see some of the fans from some of these other places and the entire fan base shows up from across Lake Erie for something like that, I don't know. I don't think Detroit has those kind of fans that are dedicated.
No, we don't.
Hold on. Because I feel you're right there. But the big thing that I noticed – now, again, my experience is that I lived in Eastern Market Lafayette Park for 5 years. So I saw tailgates. I saw people pulling up at 7 a.m. I saw out-of-towners. I saw everyone – come in. The tailgate at Eastern Market is not rowdy. It is a barbecue. It's a cookout. Like, everyone's grilling, everyone's drinking, but nobody is really going crazy. Like, there's no, I don't recall too many fights. I don't recall too many like assaults, like the kinds of things that come with over intoxication. So
it's basically kind of like, if teenagers were having a party at their parents' house when their parents were out of town, but all the friends were really nice and really respective of the space.
Oh, you definitely never came to any parties at my house and my parents were gone. My friends were like, no parents, I can drink, I'm 21. and yeah.
Bottles of 151 gone in 10 seconds. I mean, what happened?
No.
I feel like, Wendy, this is a missed opportunity for your org, though, to like set up shop at Eastern Market on a Sunday where you got families and kids, because it's a very casual area and you could just set up face paint and probably make a killing.
Yeah, you actually have to get a license to do that because we're an actual business. I mean, we could do it, but you have to pay to be able to do that just on the street.
Fucking bureaucracy.
We do face paint at the St. Patrick's Day Parade.
Okay.
So we have started doing that, and obviously that's a lot of fun.
Gotcha. All right. Got to go into the next one here. Probably get a little bit more serious. I figure we were just kind of going silly to silly, so get a little bit more serious on this one. So with some news coming out of Brewbound that San Francisco – and bars in San Francisco are going to have proof that they are vaccinated or have a negative COVID test result to sit indoors at bars following new guidance from the San Francisco Bar Owner Alliance. After polling their members, the alliance took up as its, quote, official position that, quote, any customer who wishes to remain inside our establishment show proof of vaccination or a 72-hour negative COVID-19 test. And those efforts are supposed to go into effect, actually went into effect yesterday. And they also said that guests without these verifications are welcome to sit outside and other spaces that these locations may offer. And that it will be up to each individual bar to decide how to best enforce this for their customers. Obviously, with you know, some of the news that has come out with these past week and few weeks, that the CDC, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, has revised their guidance to recommend that vaccinated people return to wearing masks in public indoor spaces in areas where infection rates are surging. Obviously, our numbers here in Michigan have gone up. I really haven't looked at the stats to see, but I'm guessing that with San Francisco doing something like this, that their numbers are spiking a bit more heavily than what we have here in Detroit, or I'm guessing what Dan has in Phoenix. But with these numbers that are kind of climbing back up, it kind of begs the question of, all right, if this can happen in San Francisco, this can happen in Phoenix, this can happen in Detroit, this can happen in all of the craft beer, you know, havens that we have across the country. What are, you know, obviously we don't want to go back into a situation where everything starts to close again, which I don't think we'll get to that point. But as we start to get into what seems to be what could be this new space where we have to start going back to wearing masks indoors, I'm kind of wondering what your take is on what you think the craft beer industry in Michigan and how they would take that if that were to come into effect. And I'm going to actually go to Ken on this one first.
is it because the three word comment I put in here?
No, it's not. I just saw that.
Listen, I'm very, very pro-business deciding what they want to do, but in the same sense, my political views aren't, and it's a weird, you could call it hypocrisy, step. So for me, this is what a group, so they have a collaboration, they have their own alliance, guild, whatever you want to call it. They decided, hey, we're going to do this, but we're going to do this together. And I honestly think this is going to, especially because it's going to last a while, it's not going to be overnight. This is going to be what we saw in Michigan in 2012 when the smoking law came. And bars that said we were going to do it, did it. bars that said we weren't going to do it, weren't going to do it. And everyone just kind of did it. You knew where to go if you wanted to smoke, and you knew where to stay away if you didn't want to smell smoke anymore. For here, you know, it's still up to the bars to decide, and the bars that probably voted against it as part of the alliance will be like, oh yeah, sure, just, you know, nod and wink, I'm vaccinated. I don't know where we are. I've reached peak COVID discussion in my life. It's probably easy because I have no problem still putting on a mask. I have no problem if someone says, you know, hey, if you could wear a mask while you're here. Like, I have a housewarming party tomorrow, and I, you know what I told people on my thing? We have high-risk people and kids showing up. Be vaccinated or please do not show up. Are we going to check people, though? No. I'm not going to ask for your vaccine card, but I would hope that you would respect me enough to not show up or... you know, not show up or not lie to me, but in the same sense, you don't have that respect. Like, I would expect that respect from my friends, but I would not expect that respect from randos because they don't care. They care about them, right. Themselves. So I don't know. If it's your choice to ask for a mask, ask for vaccine info, you know what? Boom. That's your choice. It's not against any law. There ain't no HIPAA violations here.
I know, and just kind of like what you're
saying. That.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just what you're saying is that I understand that you know, you're tired of talking about it. I'm tired of talking about it. The problem is that it's to this point where everybody's tired of it, but we're not done. And that's the shitty part about it is that we're not done. And I'm just hoping that we actually get to a point where we can actually be fucking done and just go back to, I don't know, just go back to something where it just feels like, hey, I went to the office and went to work all 5 days this week. And that's the first time I've done that since February of 2020. It still feels weird. Yeah. And it's just like it still feels weird. So, you know, it's just unfortunately it's there. And as much as I want to just be kind of invisible and not have to deal with this shit, it's like we have a new variant where I have to break out the mask. I have to take my mask, my cool alien mask over to shout out to Well Done Goods. I got to take my mask over to them to fix the straps because I'm wearing that fucker again.
I never put mine away.
Yeah.
I still wear it when I'm in public and I'm in a crowded space because I have my grandma to think of. And even though we did finally get the okay to get her vaccinated, she's still going through that process. And even if she does get vaccinated, there's still a chance that she could get sick. Okay. So I have to be careful no matter what. And honestly, vaccinations is a personal choice, and I can't look down on somebody for not doing it. I mean, I wish that everybody would, but I have family members that got vaccinated and they've had a lot of problems with it. So I just can't look down on people for not doing it, and saying that you have to be vaccinated to go into a building, that concerns me.
Right. It does kind of make me wonder that, you know, There's a few breweries. I remember when we talked about Austin Brothers and how they had stopped doing the delivery, that, you know, that I wonder if breweries that have stopped delivering beer should go back to it, or that maybe kind of possibly in a pipe dream kind of way that the laws can change that a Drizzly can come in here and start delivering some fucking beer. That'll be my soapbox right there. Or, you know, let Tavor back the fuck in. So,
yeah, unfortunately, that takes state things. You know how state laws work.
Oh, wait, they work?
Well, yeah, exactly.
Now.
I know. I'm just saying. It just takes things a long time to get through. That's basically where I wanted to go with it. It just takes too long, and unfortunately, businesses don't have a lot of time. It's yeah. in order to try and stay with their necks above water, you know, their heads above water. We don't have time. We need to either figure it out now and get it done now, or you roll the dice and see what happens. And right now it seems like everyone's kind of following the roll the dice and see what's happening right now, which may or may not be a good thing right now, but you know,
right.
I guess we'll see what happens.
I think it's a little tricky with the industry, because you know, you're coming off of a relatively, I mean, it's even tough to say that it was a down year, because we talked last week about Michigan having, you know, a craft beer industry that was nearly $10 billion last year, despite the fact that we had a pandemic. But the fact that we did have a pandemic kind of meant that that number could have been higher. And so when we're coming off of getting to a point where we're starting to peak and get off of, you know, I forget the term that we use that, or our bosses use at work. They called it the COVID coaster, which I got really sick of it, because it was like in every coaster, every day, the COVID coaster, that, you know, these breweries are starting to really ramp up their production. They're trying to get more people in. And they're trying to get more employees, and hell, you look at Eastern Market, who now just bought a new facility that they're going to start running their delivery service out of. That all of these places are trying to say, okay, we're done, let's ramp back up. And then you start to see this news where everything is like making it seem like it could be a possibility that everything starts to go back down. And these breweries are starting to go back down, ramp up their production, I don't know. Just keep. Hopefully, it's just like things just kind of level out, and we can just keep throwing the beers, slinging the beers out there, and keep drinking. I don't know. I don't know what's going with that.
Yeah, I think those who those who want it have gotten it. Those who haven't won't. And it's just where we are, and it sucks to be where we are, because we want to move forward, but we can't without collaboration from people. And I understand there are people who are hesitant. I understand there are people who can't get it, like, you know, grandma couldn't get it until recently, you know, and I'm sure she if she wanted it back in January, you would have been right in line at Walgreens ready to give her the shot. But it's one of those things to where we need more collaboration of the people, and it's just not there. And we could dive into the fucking weeds of a lot of different groups in there. But in the end, as I always tell people when I kind of, you know, record my info, like, you know, I would love to be back in studio once a month and be with you guys and see you guys and chat. Sorry, Dan. But in the same sense, let's look. Dan was in town last Saturday for 4 hours, and I got a chance to see, like, I wasn't going to pass up that opportunity to go see a friend.
Right.
And that's the kind of thing that I miss, and that's the kind of thing that we're not going to get until something. It's going to be
until something.
It's dark. It's either going to be enough people die or enough people admit that they need to get it or get it. Like, I don't know. It's just a lot. I want a happy ending. For this.
Whoa,
show.
Wait, you want a what?
A happy
whoa.
Ending for this
whoa.
Show.
Whoa, 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 whoa.
Didn't sign on for that.
Probably a good thing. Probably a good thing.
Listen, we need to finish strong and hard and good and get this going. So two guys out in Michigan is going into Distro. They're bringing out three beers. They're doing 16-ounce four packs, a blonde, an IPA, and a brown. There are so many fucking SKUs out there now. What is a style that you want to see more SKUs of in 2022? So, like, from now until next, you know, July of next year, what do you want to see more SKUs of? Dan, we already know your answer. Pumpkin beers. Nick.
Well, and Ken, you want the alts, obviously.
No, that's not actually what I was going to say.
You liar!
100% honest to God, because not enough people make alt beers. So I'm asking for something that just doesn't exist. Like I just want people to make more alt beers, which I think I buried the lead a little bit earlier. Old Nation and Urban Rest are going to be doing a collaboration, and doing some type of like a dinner and beer competition between each other, where they're going to have the same beers. They're going to be doing, if I recall right, they're going to be doing an alt beer, and I believe they're doing an alt beer and something else. Obviously I got excited because it was an alt beer. But both of them are doing an alt beer. They're going to be doing German table service, German food, like a whole thing for these beers as a friendly competition between Zach over at Urban Rest and Travis over at
Old Nation.
Thank you. Totally do a Better Andrea field trip.
For sure. They're doing a Kolsch and an alt, so we might need to bring Matt Bush in because obviously the Kolsch king over there.
Oh, here we go.
But they're going to be hosting an event. All the beers are going to be poured, including Kolsch. Traditional, they say Kranz Kobe service. There's a bunch of words that I just don't know because they look like German style words. Old Nation's going to be distroing their cans for the Kolsch and the alt. But I want to know, what do you guys want to see from, because a blonde, a brown, and an IPA is a nice little entry into the beer world. I don't think they're, like, a lot of people, I think, go for the amber when they go towards the malty, but I'm excited for another brown. They go towards the wit as opposed to a blonde. So what styles do you want to see in the field?
I want to see more sours. I want to see more sours.
All you got to do is just go to Ferndale Project and order.
I know. But, you know, these last few weeks, I've been on the sour kick lately.
Well, I know Jolly Pumpkin in Dearborn is getting a brew kit. Not a brew kit, a brew system. So they're going to be doing Jolly Pumpkin Dearborn sours that are probably different than the rest of the sours. So that might be a fun little trip because I know they're right across the street from Dearborn Brewing too. So Nick wants sours. Rob?
English barley wine.
Ooh.
Not the American style. English style. Stop fucking around.
We want more Newcastle out there. You got it.
Wendy, what about you?
I don't know. I think I get a pretty good, I like a pretty good mix of things, but I think I would like to see more quads out there. I love the big fruit flavors, so. And while I'm, triple is my favorite style ever, I think that I really do like the quads, so when I get those, I'm really excited.
This question's for Rob. I don't know if you have the answer. Did Shorts pick up Serial Killer?
I don't know. I don't believe that was actually, and it's funny how you bring that up, because that was my first barley wine. And I used to absolutely love Serial Killer. I don't, and I know we had Joe Short on, and we talked about, you know, the properties that they picked up with Arcadia, but I don't know. I remember the last time Arcadia was at the Fall Beer Fest in Detroit, they did a barrel-aged version of it. And I just did not like it. They I don't know what happened with it. It just was not good.
That's not
Lee
too...
in the chat says beer flavored beers.
Yeah, I mean, beer flavored beers is PBR. That's a beer flavored beer.
Yeah, but so hold on, because he brings up a valid point. There aren't too many lagers, Kolsch's, pilsners in distro.
Now, and there's a lot of adjuncts.
Yeah.
I disagree with that right now because I was just at the beer store and I saw an awful lot of lagers and pilsners on the shelf right now.
Did they have adjuncts?
No.
I mean,
you went to the good beer store.
That, yeah, that's some beer. That's some beer flavored beer right there.
I ain't fucking around when it comes to beer. Let's be honest.
I mean, Nick over here is buying, you know, 3-year-old Moscow meals off of shelf.
Hey. Wait a sec. Those are like fucking gold, dude.
Are these guys still brewing?
I still have one in my what about you, Dan?
Honestly, I'd love to see more ESBs out there.
ESBs.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Nice. That seems to be that's like up there with an alt beer. You don't see a whole lot of them.
We need a full official marketing campaign to change the name of ESBs to something else. I think we just need to name it something that, you know, we already, you know, it's already in the amber type family, but we need you know, some type of wording or phrasing or marketing that gets ESB into the hands of everyone, because I think that would be, I would love more ESBs, that's for sure. Like that whole like subsect family, like ESBs, English milds, alt beers, of course. you know what I would love to see though, and I want more, and I'm going to be honest, I want more Belgian wits, and I'm talking like white ales, like Allagash white. Like I want a like winter white or bright white or whatever it's called from Bell's is obviously good. I want more competition. I want to be able to drink Michigan whites to where I never have to go look for Allagash again. Like that would be my want for beer in Michigan as a skew, like more opportunities, more. I think GW's Little White Lie is one of them, but that's like a cherry wit out of Middle Coast. I don't want adjuncts. I just want, give me Allagash. You know what? That's probably, I should just make my own fucking Allagash white.
You give me beer flavored beer. It's like Willie said.
Maybe
they could call it ESB. I don't know. Call it like ESBN. A London
ESBN.
Give it something.
I think London typically, like when people hear London and think of beer, they think of a porter though.
Okay.
Like I think London might be maybe a Essex, an Essex brew, ESB, ES Essex brew, B. There we go. Mm-hmm.
How about you call it in instead of an IPA, you call it an IBA. Damn it, and that just completely got screwed up. I just like hit my head. I was like, well, wait a minute, no, because it's not really, you know, I don't know of the Indian of sort. But then again, like British owned, like they've rated 92% of this entire world. So
rated, no,
India, British ale
colonized.
Colonized, invaded. I believe history will say that they invaded all but 22 countries in this world. So something like that.
That's going to do with the news segment, July 30th, 2021. Thank you so much for joining us. We will be back next week. And no matter what you think of your beer, we think it's better on draft. Have a good night.
Peace.